You're listening to a podcast from Life Church Southampton. To find out more about the church or to explore other resources, visit lifesouthampton.org.
Hi everyone. Hello, hello, hello. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Nathan, and I want to start today by telling you about a boy, okay? This boy was born into a faithful Christian family who were all in on following Jesus, worshipping him, being involved in church community and mission. In fact, in the moments after he was born, his dad held him for the first time and said, "Lord, he's all yours. He's all yours." And his parents loved him deeply. They prayed for him regularly and they led humble and godly lives. They took him to church every week and he went to Sunday kids groups where he learned all about Jesus. A small group of people in the church actually began praying for him regularly, weekly in fact, which he didn't realize until he was 18 actually. And they kept doing that until he was an adult, and they might even still be praying for this person now. pardon me. Just because he was in a Christian home and in a Christian family and he went to church didn't mean he was a Christian, right? And he wasn't a Christian. He knew about Jesus, he knew of him, but he didn't really know him or follow him. But he continued to be part of the church community, not that it was always his choice. His parents sometimes forced him to come. He went to Christian kids camps every few years as well with the church, willingly this time, and continued to hear and learn about Jesus and experience something of the presence of God at these times. In his first year of secondary school, he then joined the church youth group, and he went with the youth group to a Christian youth festival in the summer called New Day. And at New Day, for the first time, as in like the first time he was there, he heard the gospel every single meeting the morning and the evening. He heard the gospel about the good news about Jesus, just like he had done at kids' work and at church. But one particular evening, I think it was a Thursday evening, saving faith kick-started in his heart. And he went from death to life. He went from darkness to light. And he was forever changed. He had eternal life. Eternal life began in that moment, a relationship with his Creator. And God gave him a resolve to follow Jesus for the rest of his days. A few months later, he got baptized, increasingly became all in for church, for community worship and mission. He had some godly youth leaders around him who got alongside him in his life and led by example. They invested into him, they cared for him, they encouraged him, they challenged him, and they kept all the time pointing him back to Jesus over and over. The youth group ran a worship event regularly, and this always involved teaching about Jesus, always involved that, and there were many opportunities to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The youth group also ran a life group style type gathering for some of the teenagers in the youth group. And he went along with his friends to this, and they went with a youth leader deeper into the Bible and prayer together. The youth really helped him to, I guess, learn how to follow Jesus and navigate the very real and difficult world that he was in, especially with all the challenges that come with being a teenager. Each summer, New Day would come around again, and excitedly he would go, and he would love it, and he would have precious experiences of the Holy Spirit every single time, and these gradually became more and more common beyond the festival. He learned to play guitar. His older brother even taught him his first few chords at the age of 12, and his brother at the time was leading some worship in the youth group that he went along to, and one time his brother said, "Do you fancy leading worship with me at some point?" And he reluctantly said yes. Though he was only 13, he did it. He got involved and he regularly led worship. And not only did he grow in skill and confidence and experience, but more importantly, a worshiping heart and passion for God, a love for God grew as well. By 15 years old, he was leading sung worship on a Sunday morning in front of all the adults, leading them to worship God. More importantly, though, than what he did for God in his teenage years, actually, more importantly than that, it was him, who he was as a person, who was profoundly shaped as he grew up as a teenager. He kept growing in love for God and others and developed, as others would say, a maturity beyond his years. He wasn't perfect, and he still isn't. He's far from perfect. But God continually and faithfully was at work in him, in his life, making him increasingly, yet slowly, more and more like Jesus. God truly carried him throughout his teenage years. And when he became 18, he moved to London to embark on an internship year with a church. And a passion for God and for the church bloomed when he was on this internship year and led him to then start studying the Bible at Spurgeon's College of Theology for 3 years. Alongside that, working as a youth worker for the church, doing the very thing that had blessed him so, so much when he grew up. Towards the end of his studies, he got married, and then together with his wife, they went on a church planting course, just exploring, okay, we're passionate about the church and about God and mission. How can we take part in that? So they did this course, and through that, God spoke to them and spoke to them about moving to Life Church, to Southampton. And so they did, and it's been about 6 years since, and this person remains resolved to follow Jesus and will do for the rest of his life. Who is this? Some of you might be wondering. Well, he stands before you right now. Some of you might have worked out quite soon. And these are some pictures of me growing up. Just to clarify, I'm in the red circles. The good-looking one, the handsome one, right? So this is me. This is my story. It's a testimony, really, of God's outstanding, life-transforming power generously and uniquely at work in my life. Hear this, through the church. The man who stands before you right now is a walking and talking testimony of a church who were the kind of church that we want to increasingly be over the next 5 or so years. As Si shared last Sunday, over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be hoisting 5 sails on 5 masts, as it were. 5 strategic aims that we have as a church. And the first one we're going to talk about today, and it's this. We aim to increasingly become a church where children and young people are treasured as part of the body and are discipled for a lifetime with Jesus. Have a little read of that yourself again as I raise this fancy new banner. Oh. Let's see if I can do this first time. Almost there. Oh, there we go. Thank you. This is one of our 5 aims for the next 5 or so years. Now, this is why I shared my story with you. Though the church I grew up in might word it differently, they treasured me as part of the church. And they discipled me for a lifetime with Jesus. God brought life to me through how he used that church. But what does this mean? What does this mean? We're going to read Romans 12, 1 to 2 to help us this morning with this. But what we'll do, I'll read the whole chapter just to sort of give us a bit of wider context. But also over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be jumping around Romans 12 a little bit to explore the other 4 aims that we'll look at. So the words should come up on the screen as I read this. So Romans 12, here we go, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with a brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So Paul starts by saying, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So when Paul talks about presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, I think he's talking in different words about being a disciple. So a disciple is one who follows and evidently becomes like the one they follow. And so when we talk about being a disciple of Jesus, we're talking about following Jesus and becoming like Jesus. And I would argue that this is the same as being a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. I would argue that this looks like the kind of spiritual worship that Paul is talking about here. Now, if you're not sure about how I've concluded that, I'm happy to chat with you guys later afterwards. Please come and find me. We can talk about it. But I do think he's using different words to talk about really the same thing here. He's telling his readers, and therefore us today, to be disciples. But notice the therefore that he uses, that word therefore. This word tells us that we become disciples of Jesus because of something else that Paul's already talked about. He says something, and he says, therefore, be disciples, in other words. So from chapter 1 to chapter 11 of Romans, Paul makes an argument. He presents something. And I think we can summarize what he presents in two words. And those two words are the gospel. The gospel means the good news. And Paul is talking about, from chapter 1 to chapter 11, he's talking about the good news of Jesus. That's what he's all about in those chapters. The good news of Jesus. And, you know, Paul tells us clearly in Romans 3. It's a really clear sort of verse to summarize the gospel of Jesus. He says, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The good news of Jesus is that all have fallen short. All have sinned. But all can be rescued and brought into relationship with God by the gift that is Jesus. Therefore, because of what Jesus has done, because he has rescued us, therefore we're disciples. That's the, I think, the flow of argument that Paul is talking about here. And this is the point that I think we all need to hear as a church this morning. The salvation that comes through Jesus is for all. It's for all. It's not just for adults who have fallen short. It's for our children too. It's not just for adults who have sinned. It's for our children too. It's not just adults who need Jesus. It's our children too. It's not just adults who God wants. It's our children too. It's not just adults who God saves. It's our children too. It's not just adults who can become disciples. It's our children too. It's not just adults who are living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. It's our children too. It's not just adults who are worshippers of God. It's our children too. Teenagers in the room, I know you're here. This gospel, this good news of Jesus is for you as well. Not just for the adults in this room. This is the heart of Christ for our children. Hear that? This is the heart of Christ. He treasures them deeply and he invites them into life with him just as much as any adult. Therefore, if we as a church are seeking to follow Jesus, then surely we must share in his heart for them. Surely we must therefore treasure them and also invite them into life with him. We aim to increasingly become a church where children and young people are treasured as part of the body. And we aim for them to be discipled for a lifetime with Jesus. So we disciple them. In other words, we invite them. We invite them into life with him. We invite them into a life of becoming like Jesus. I imagine that quickly what comes to mind when you hear the word discipled is when you've become a Christian and then discipleship happens. Like you then are discipled once you're a Christian. And you gradually become more like him. And though that is true, that is where discipleship happens, really, discipleship happens before you become a Christian. The journey that someone goes on towards Jesus and towards that moment where they cross that line of faith and they say, yeah, I'm all in, Jesus, I'm following you. And that moment itself, that's also them being discipled. And I think it's important that we understand that and have clarity on that, because that has implications on how we then disciple our children. So, how do we disciple our children? How do we do this? Well, Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So this happens, this discipleship happens for our children just like it does for any one of us. By the renewing of our minds. As our minds are renewed, we are transformed into Christ-likeness rather than conformed into world-likeness. Conformed is when something changes, but it's more like a cookie-cutter change, where something is just like cookie-cuttered and it follows the pattern of everything else around it. Whereas transformation is also change, but it's more like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. It's a profound, like death, really, death to self, and a resurrection into a new life. And this new life is one characterized by the character of Jesus. This is the business we're in when we're doing discipleship. However, because our children are unavoidably born into and raised in a world like this one that we're in, it's all too easy for them to actually become like anything else and not like Jesus. It is all too easy. But this is not God's desire for them, teenagers in the room. God's plan for your life is for you to become like Jesus, to take on his image. Just read Romans 8:29. That is God's goal for your life, is to become more like Jesus. It's not to become like anything else in the world. It's to become like him and him only. That is what we're doing. This is the transformation process that we're longing for. We want our children to be like caterpillars who change into butterflies. That kind of transformation. But this doesn't happen. Now, parents, I think some of you might need to hear this morning. That doesn't happen by removing the influence of the world or by taking your child away from the influence of the world. There might be some wisdom in that, but that's not really how you're going to see the transformation you would want to see in your children. This happens through countering the influence of the world with a far greater influence, that is the reality of Jesus. It's like, imagine your child, or any of us, remember this is how all of us are discipled, we're a bucket, a big bucket full of water, and the water is like everything from the world around us, and we start becoming more and more like the world around us. The bucket fills up with the water. Discipleship, true biblical discipleship, is throwing the rock, the giant rock that is Jesus, into that bucket of water. Guess what happens? All the water flies out of the bucket, and what is left is Jesus in the bucket, as it were. That's what discipleship's about. This is what renewing our minds is. What our children need is a church who show off Jesus. Life Church, if we want to treasure our children, we must show them Jesus above all else. If we truly love them, we must show them Jesus. We must make it our number one priority to embody him to them and to proclaim him and to teach them about him. We must prioritize that if we are to genuinely treasure them and then disciple them. And that's the case whether they are not a Christian yet, whether they are a Christian. You don't graduate from the gospel. The thing that saves us is the thing that transforms us going on. So we need to show them Jesus, show them Jesus, show them Jesus, wherever they're at with him. Now, I've shared my story with you earlier as a way to help us see something of all this, but I thought it'd be really helpful also for us to hear in the same way from some of our teenagers directly. So I would like to welcome Sam, Barney, and Elliot up to come and join me at the front. Let's give them a round of applause. They're being very brave. Come and take a seat, guys. Grab a seat. One of you hold the mic, and if anyone wants to share, just pass the mic over. I thought it'd be great to hear from these guys. Now, I'll stop talking and I'll start asking them questions. So, for all of you, apologies, I think my microphone's a bit noisy. What's your name? Well, though I just announced your names, but they don't know necessarily whose name matches whose face. So, what's your name and how old are you?
I'm Sam and I'm 14. I'm Elliot and I'm 15.
I'm Barney, I'm number 13.
Great. Now, how long have you guys been part of Life Church? Can you remember?
My family's been part since lockdown, I think.
Lockdown, cool.
I've been part of Life Church my whole life. My whole life as well.
Great. So it's worth realising that for these guys, they have grown up in kids' work at Life Church. Barney less so, I guess. And then they're part of our youth group now, okay? They're teenagers, part of our youth. So next question is for you, Elliot. I wonder if I can ask you this. How did you become a disciple of Jesus? What like led you to that moment of decision to go, like, I'm going to follow Jesus? Do you remember?
Yeah, well, it was at one church conference in 2018. We
We had been to America a couple of years before, and we were out there with Bethel Church. And, yeah, I think just being part of a kids group, and it's really just,
great. It's so part of the kids group,
yeah.
And I guess hearing about Jesus, and then the One Church Conference. Do you remember much from the One Church Conference? Do you remember what was being spoken about, what's happening? Sorry to put you on the spot.
Not much, but I just remember that I wanted to give my life to Jesus, and yeah. Great.
That's brilliant. Thank you, Elliot. This is a question for all of you, or just one of you who wants to volunteer to sort of answer it. Can you tell us like one thing that you find or makes it difficult for you to follow Jesus? Does anyone want to share on that?
I guess for me, it's just friends and especially my phone. I'm just distracted by everything else. Like when I could be on my phone, I could be reading the Bible, or when I'm with my friends, I could be talking about Jesus. Instead, I'm just focusing on my friends and myself rather than preaching Jesus.
Great. Anyone else want to share a difficulty?
Just all my friends aren't Christian, so like explaining Jesus to them would be a bit difficult, and they'll just move on to something else.
Right. That's really interesting. Thank you, guys. Okay. Has then anything, as you've grown up in Life Church through kids' work or youth work, has there been anything particularly that you can think of that has really helped you, like, follow Jesus? Really helped you amongst those challenges you've talked about? What's served you well?
I guess it's just having, like, a really strong community that if I have any troubles, I can talk to any of my Christian friends about it, and even any of the elders or older people at church.
That's you guys, by the way, the older people. Do you want to share, Elliot? Dante. It won't bite, don't worry.
Yeah, I think it's just the church isn't boring, and I want to come to church every Sunday, and it's just like that if my friends want to do anything else, like, I want to come to church instead, because I feel in that mindset, and I want to take everything from church in, and try and live it out actively.
Brilliant. Really interesting. I guess something that came through in me listening just then to both those responses is the presence of the church, right? The presence of the church and them feeling part of the body being the church family, in such a way that they can find the help they need to navigate the challenges of being a teenager and a Christian. So that's really interesting. Thank you, boys. My next question then is for Sam, actually, if that's okay. Do you have any stories of people in your life, friends or family, neighbours, whatever, who you've seen come to know Jesus?
Yeah, so when I was in year 7, I invited a friend to New Day, which is a youth Christian festival. My friend was Jacob, and he decided then to give his life to Christ. After just hearing all the sermons and preaches in the morning and the afternoon, he realised that was the right way to go, and that's what he thought he had to do, and he was correct.
Wow, amazing. I had the privilege of serving as a youth leader at that New Day that Sam's talking about. And it was beautiful to see Jacob go on that journey. So do be praying for him. He's not in a Christian family. And that just, again, that makes it hard, right? It makes it hard to follow Jesus when you've got the odd one out in that. So do be praying for him. That's really exciting. So God is using you as a witness to the people around you to help them know life in Jesus. It's so incredible. Barney, then, can you tell us about the new adventure that you guys are embarking on in your school?
Well, the main goal is just to get more and more people to come and to know Christ, because right now, not many people are Christian. Like, I know 3 other people in my year who are. So we're just trying to get more and more people to know about him.
So what are you guys doing to try and communicate about Jesus?
Well, we got this Youth Alpha course on YouTube, and we just show that to them. We ask questions about it as well, so they think more deeply.
Brilliant. So you're doing Youth Alpha, which is quite a new resource for teenagers to bring the gospel of Jesus to schools. which is really, really exciting. And so you guys have started Youth Alpha, basically, at your school, which is incredible. Elliot, what are you then doing off the back of that?
I saw that I didn't really know many Christians within the school, and there was a bit of a lack of a presence within the school, so I thought we could set up the Christian Union.
Amazing. Yeah. So I remember you telling me when I asked you, I think, like, why you're doing it, you said something along the lines of, well, like, if loads of people get saved through Youth Alpha, where are they going to go afterwards? And just thought, well, they just want to see you. If I just was blown away by the faith that these boys had, that Jesus can save people, and he will, and that they're going to expect a harvest of salvation. That means actually there's going to be lots more Christians in their school who need that kind of support to follow Jesus in their school. And so let's start a CU to help people out. I just think that's incredible, incredible faith in Jesus about what he's going to do. So that's amazing. Last question, and feel free for any of you to answer this if you want to. Is there anything that comes to mind when I say, how can these people in front of you serve you and people like you in our church going forwards?
I guess prayer. We'd love it if you guys could pray for us and pray for the climate of the school to completely change.
Great.
And yeah.
Brilliant. We will pray later, by the way, so that's great.
And you could pray for, like, praying that people would actually come and they'll come and enjoy it. They won't just come because their friend told them to come. They'll come and actually believe in Christ.
Amazing. Anything you want to share, Barney? Have they said it all?
Yeah.
Great. Pray. Great. That's so encouraging. Can I just highlight, church, that these boys are a testimony of how Jesus saves and transforms young lives? Like, these boys are a testimony of that. And a lot of what they're saying is in part, or is mainly, because God has used you, right? And has used their parents to serve them and help them know Jesus. Like, you only go, oh, I so want my friends to know Jesus and believe in him. You only do that if you've seen a glimpse of the glory and grace of Jesus and go, wow, he's amazing. That's the only outcome. You know, so this is incredible stuff that we're hearing. It's the testimony of how actually in a lot of ways we are kind of this already. Like, you know, this is we are living this to a degree, but we want to, over the next 5 or so years, increasingly be this for our young people and our children. So thank you, boys. You're brilliant. Let's give them a round of applause. You head back to your seats. Right. So the question you might have at this point is, like, what will this actually or specifically look like going forwards? Well, sorry to disappoint you, but I don't know. I don't know because I don't know the answer, okay? And I'm not going to try and answer it now, because also this is something for us to work out together, right? This is something for us to work out step by step as we go forwards as a church. However, what I do want to do to finish today is I want to invite all of you to be in on this, okay? This is for all of us to be behind. This is not just for our youth workers and our children's workers. It's not just for parents among us. It is for all of us. We all have a part to play. That might look different to each other, but we all have a part to play. We all must own this together. And I want to, so Life Church, I'm calling you to be all in on this. Be all in on this, every single one of you. Now, if you are a parent of a child or teenager in our church, or you are maybe wondering whether the part for you to play is to serve in our kids and youth ministries, then I want to invite you to an event that's coming up on the 1st of February. Here at King Edwards, straight after church, we're going to have, just in that room right over there, we're going to have a Find Out More lunch for kids and youth work. This is going to be an event where over food, with the help of some of our young people, our kids, some of our kids and youth workers are going to kind of try and paint a picture for you of how we serve our young people currently in our church. And so if you're a parent, the idea is you firstly are informed a bit more, if you want to be informed, about how we provide for our children, how we serve them. But also so that you can, I guess, be equipped to work with our kids workers and youth workers better going forwards. But it's a team effort. You're not on your own, parents, and our kids and youth workers aren't on their own. It's a team effort. So we want to sort of facilitate those relationships, I guess, a bit more. But then if you are interested or wondering whether to serve in these ministries, hopefully you come away having a better idea of what the ministries involve, having a bit of the heart for it shared with you by the kids and youth workers, and to maybe understand if you do want to proceed and get involved, you understand a few of the next steps for that. So if that's you, please put this in your diary. There's even a QR code that you can scan right now. It will take literally like a minute to sign up. We would appreciate sign-ups because it's just providing food and all that. So if that's you, please scan the QR code. Please come along. This is also on the website and on Church Suite. So if you don't do it now, you can find it another time at home. So that's the Find Out More lunch that's happening on the 1st. And then on the 7th of February, which is a Saturday, the weekend after, New Day, who you've heard a lot about this morning through my story and through the interview just now with the boys, this New Day is the organization who organize and run the New Day Festival for our teenagers. And they are putting on an event called Youth Culture Conference, which is happening in London on the 7th. And it's a whole day conference. And it's an event designed to address some of the biggest issues facing young people today and to equip us to disciple them in a fast-changing and challenging culture. And this us that I talk about is not just parents, not just youth workers. It's social workers, teachers, church leaders. It's actually all of us who are wanting to work out, how do I play my part in serving this generation? So I want to invite you to come along to this, if that's you. I'm going, I'm booked in. A number of our youth workers are booked in. Even some of our older youth are booked in as well. But we would love to have a big gang of Life Church folk go along and make a day of this. We can travel together, we can eat together, we can sort of be there together and learn, how do we do this? How can we be useful to Jesus for this generation? So I just want to encourage you, sign up. The QR code, that works. You can sign up there. Or come and speak to me afterwards. I can give you some more details. Youth Culture Conference can be fantastic. Be there if you want to try and work out how you play your part. Now, Life Church, this, let's hoist the sail, right? Let's put it up. Let's put it up and let the wind fill it. And let's see where Jesus takes us. Let's increasingly be a church where children and young people are treasured as part of the body and are discipled for a lifetime with Jesus. Now, as the boys shared, what they want us to do is they want us to pray for them. So we're going to pray. We'll probably sing a song later to finish our meeting, but we're going to spend some good time praying now for our children and young people. It's the place where we want to start, and it's the place where we want to just keep being in as we go forwards with this. So can I encourage us, let's stand together if you're able to. We're going to kind of use the Lord's Prayer to kind of guide us a little bit in how we pray for this generation. So I'm going to start by praying for us, for them, using Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name. Okay, and then later I'll show you or tell you how we're going to pray from then. So let me pray. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You are our Father who loves us. And that's not just the adults, that's our children and teenagers too. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for the good news of Jesus. Thank you for Romans chapter 1 through to chapter 11, this amazing message, this amazing thing that you, God, have done in the world, sending your Son for all, so that all might be saved. Lord, you have done an incredible thing, dying on the cross, rising from the dead, ascending to heaven, and reigning now in heaven. You have achieved something magnificent. You have done what we could not do, which is bring us back into relationship with you. It really is our story that our sins are forgiven. It really is our story that, you know, we have been made new. It really is our story that forever we will be singing. It's because of you. It's because of you, Jesus. And we praise you for that. And we just want to start by humbling ourselves before you and recognizing you as Lord, the one who reigns, as the one who can make the difference, as the one who cares more for our young people than we do. We look to you now and choose to believe in you. Praise you, Holy God. Praise you. Amen. Okay, now we're going to move on to the next part of the Lord's Prayer, which is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're going to, in a moment, we're going to all, just at once, out loud, if you feel comfortable, just pray where you are. Okay, all of us, if you feel comfortable to pray. And to pray particularly that God's rule and reign would be established in the lives, hearts, and minds of our young people and our children. Okay? If you have particular young people in your mind, pray for them by name. Go for it. If you're a parent, pray for your children. If you're a teenager in the room and you're thinking, oh, we're praying for, they're praying for me, what shall I do? Well, pray for us adults. We need this just as much as you need this. Or pray for your friends. Pray for the CU and the Youth Alpha that's happening in the school. Pray for those things. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you're so welcome. Feel free just to do what is comfortable to you. You can pray if you want, but equally you don't have to. You can just sort of listen to those around you. So let's pray. 3, 2, 1, let's go.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Life Church Southampton. Check out lifesouthampton.org for more.